tiger!
Order, order.
Shambles, the word of the week used over and over again in the 6 hours of debate that followed this motion from the government's leader of the House, Gerry Brownlee, before five on Wednesday afternoon.
I move that urgency be accorded the introduction and passing through all stages of the New Zealand Flag Referendums Amendment Bill.
Adding the so-called Red Peak design to the four already selected for the first flag change referendum in November, the same bill had only a couple of hours earlier been the subject of this request from the Greens' Gareth Hughes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I seek leave to introduce a members' bill in my name to increase the number of flag options in the New Zealand Flag Referendums Act 2015 from four to five, and for the bill to be set down for the first reading before Government Order of the Day number one. I also seek leave for the bill to progress through all stages today, including the time provided for the extended sitting on Thursday the 24th of September, and for the bill to be progressed before business set down for the extended sitting.
Leave is sought for that purpose. Is there any objection?
Yes!
There is objection.
And it came from the New Zealand First Party and meant that the bill's only future lay with its adoption by the government to be pushed through all its stages under urgency, ending the government's plan of using Wednesday night and extended time on Thursday morning to pass several government bills through their final stages. Instead of beginning debate on the third reading of the first of four bills that Mr. Brownlee had planned to get through after using the government's majority to secure an extended sitting period on Thursday morning, MPs returned to their debating chamber at nine to resume the committee stage of the flag bill, only to hear from Labour's Grant Robertson that they were wasting their time because the government could have achieved the same result with regulation through an order in council.
Actually, it was within their power to simply say, you know what, there are three flags with silver ferns on them, two of which are almost exactly the same. Why not take one of those out and put Red Peak in? That could all have been done, Mr. Chair, without any need for legislation whatsoever.
While not disagreeing with Mr. Robertson, National Cabinet Minister Nick Smith pointed out the political downside.
They say this bill is not needed to add the Red Peak flag to the referendum in November because we could simply dump one of the four flags that have been recommended by the panel. Let me place a bet. If the Cabinet had overruled the independent panel and had taken one of the four flags that they had selected and put it, the Red Peak flag, in, the members opposite would be the first to cry blue murder.
Nick Smith's concerns about the political reaction to that move echoed around the chamber as the debate on the flag bill developed like the plot of a five-door farce. Eventually passed with support from all parties except New Zealand First, the Red Peak flag bill created a whirlwind romance between National and the Greens, who found themselves embraced by the same MPs who just weeks before had been calling them wowsers for opposing ACT's emergency Rugby World Cup booze bill. Labour, meanwhile, continued to be spurned by National for supporting the referendums but seeking a change in their order. Their leader's amendment, putting the simple yes-no referendum first, was opposed by all other parties, and the farce also featured noises off from the Twitterati in the form of an electronic petition on a memory stick, handed over to some MPs outside Parliament House, but not actually formally presented to Parliament. Its origins drawing this comment from Labour's Trevor Mallard.
There was a few people based in wine bars and coffee bars and other Liberal establishments who got onto Twitter, and there was a decision to, you know, to make a change, and we're supporting it. You know, anything to make this more interesting. But what happens if next week there is a Facebook campaign and there's a major push for another flag to go in there?
Trevor Mallard is also one of the two assistant speakers, and it was in this role that he made parliamentary history on Tuesday when he took offence at a remark off mic from former ACC Minister Nick Smith, sitting beside him at the table during the committee stage of the Accident Compensation, Financial Responsibility and Transparency Amendment Bill.
The member will now stand, withdraw and apologise without reservation, or he will leave the chamber.
I unreservedly apologise.
But that didn't satisfy Mr. Mallard, who believed Nick Smith had questioned his neutrality as a committee chairman.
Dr. Nick Smith will leave the chamber.
Nick Smith then made another remark on his way out the door and failed to respond to Trevor Mallard's request for him to return.
The Sergeant-at-Arms will Find Dr. Nick Smith and ask him to return to the chamber, please.
About 5 minutes elapsed before the sergeant-at-arms escorted Nick Smith back to the chamber.
What I would like you now is to withdraw and apologise for the comment you made indicating bias on the part of the chair as you left the chamber. And the member will do it properly. He knows how to do it.
Mr. Speaker, I withdraw and apologise.
Now, the member will now leave the chamber.
It was the first time in 10 years that an MP had been ordered to come back to the chamber to apologise. That ACC bill had its third reading the next day, the debate cut short two-thirds of the way through to make way for the Red Peak Flag debate. Completion of that late on Thursday morning saw the government return to its order paper, starting with the third reading of the Environmental Reporting Bill. And the only other bill passed this week implements a free trade agreement with South Korea. The debate kicked off by Trade Minister Tim Grosser.
At the end of the day, this agreement doesn't put a new dollar on the table. It creates an opportunity, and it will be up to New Zealand business people, and we will strongly support them to exploit the opportunities of this landmark agreement.
Mr. Grosser said the bill amended law that would be affected by the treaty, alluding to the same process lying ahead for the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, or TPPA.
And in the light of a discussion that I hope this Parliament will have in the not-too-distant future on a certain other rather larger and more controversial trade agreement, it will be exactly the same. While the Parliament will not be asked, in effect, to debate a trade agreement per se, unless Parliament passes the necessary legislation to allow a New Zealand government to ratify it, it won't happen.
Tim Grosser's negotiating skills were praised by one of his Labour predecessors, Phil Goff, who noted, though, that some tariff barriers remained in place.
Out of quota milk powder is 176% tariff rate. You can't trade over that and you can't trade around it. Other areas that will not be happy with this agreement, sir, frozen deer velvet, 15% tariff barriers. This is our major market for frozen deer velvet. And if you look at fresh abalone or frozen squid, it's 22%. Nothing in this agreement reduces or eliminates those tariffs.
But Mr. Goff noted one major failure.
Ironically, we have maintained our ability to limit investment in farmland in this agreement, but we did not put in our ability to limit investment in residential property. Now, I happen to believe that generally foreign direct investment is good for our country. We go out and we look for it. But it's not good in every area, sir. And you will never persuade an Aucklander that it's good to have foreign direct investment in existing residential housing. Why not? Why not? Because there is a failure of supply of housing over demand. And why would we allow demand to be inflated further by encouraging investment by people in existing residential housing who are not resident and who never intend to be resident in New Zealand?
Labour's Phil Goff, while, as Rhys Lyon reports, a government move to counter speculation driving up Auckland house prices was under scrutiny in the committee rooms this week.
On Wednesday, the Finance and Expenditure Committee heard submissions on a bill that aims to tax property speculators who profit when buying and selling houses within a two-year period, known as a bright line test. While supportive of the bill's intent, Property Investors Forum Executive Officer Andrew King pointed to a possible unintended consequence of the legislation.
So most of our members we do not think will actually be affected by this because they will own the property for longer than that two-year period. However, it does raise issues when something happens out of their control, such as a terminal illness, such as losing their job. If you can no longer afford to actually pay those expenses and keep that property, you may be forced to sell it when you didn't want to. So we actually think that one of the ways of stopping that is to reduce the term of the two-year bright line test to something like 1 year. Then it would capture probably 95% of the traders and investors, but it wouldn't have the effect of adversely affecting rental property owners who intended to hold the property for long term but were forced to sell after a one-year period.
And that was one of several submissions to raise that concern, one of which was cited by Labour's finance spokesman Grant Robertson during questions to the Revenue Minister the following day.
Does he agree with the New Zealand Law Society that, quote, this bright line test is a bad idea and shouldn't be enacted in our view as it will be ineffective in meeting the stated policy objective, close quotes?
That question was fielded by one of Revenue Minister Todd McClay's Cabinet colleagues.
The Honourable Paul Goldsmith.
On behalf of the Minister of Revenue, no.
Grant Robertson sought to clarify that answer.
Why was Mr Tomlinson from the Law Society wrong when he described the bright line test legislation as, quote, incoherent, end quote, and that rather than capture speculators, it will capture those who are forced to sell their properties within 2 years, including those who are involved in mortgagee sales?
The Honourable Paul Goldsmith.
Well, the bright line test exempts the sale of the person's main home, and it also exempts inherited properties and properties transferred under the property relationship settlement, and we believe that's an appropriate arrangement.
Mr Robertson then looked to verify a submission to the committee from Chartered Accountants Association representative Peter Vile.
When he described the bright line test legislation as not sound tax policy, arbitrary, unfair and blunt.
The Honourable Paul Goldsmith.
I'm sure there are wide varieties of views on all tax legislation brought before the House, and that's his opinion. But the point I would make, Mr Speaker, is that the member has a habit of complaining endlessly about a problem, in this case housing affordability, and also complains endlessly about any efforts to do anything about the problem.
Mr Robertson also asked if the Minister agreed with the submission of Ernst & Young's tax director, David Snell.
When he said the bright line test legislation was unclear, overly complex, and that as someone who does tax accounting for a living, he found himself professionally confused by the government's approach.
The Honourable Paul Goldsmith.
On behalf of the Minister, I cannot explain why that particular gentleman is professionally confused, but I would say that the bright line test will catch property speculators who buy and sell property quickly. That is the object, and will help ensure that property speculators pay their fair share of tax.
Commerce Minister Paul Goldsmith. That taxation bright line test for residential land bill is due to be reported back from the Finance and Expenditure Committee by the 22nd of October. Also out of the committee rooms this week, the Government Administration Committee has called for submissions on Sue Moroney's Parental Leave and Employment Protection 6 months Paid Leave and Work Contact Hours Amendment Bill, which seeks to extend paid parental leave from 18 weeks to 26. For more on how to make a submission on that and other bills, go to our website parliamenttoday.co.nz and click on Make Submission at the top of the page.
That report from Rhys Lyon. The week began, as usual, with question time, which was unusual in having seven virtually identical questions, starting with this one from Opposition Leader Andrew Little.
My question is to the Prime Minister. Does he stand by all his statements after almost 7 years as Prime Minister?
Mr. Speaker, yes, I particularly stand by the statement I made when the member became the leader of the Labor Party when I said, gosh, if they keep changing Labor leaders at this rate, we'll have to ask them to start wearing...
Order. I can sense by looking at the questions this question time's going to be quite different to others. I will still do my best to maintain a level of decorum from all members. And if it requires me to ask members to leave the chamber, I will not hesitate to do so.
The sniping between the leaders of the two largest parties continued with this from the Prime Minister.
Yeah, Mr Speaker, I enjoy my job. I'm pretty happy about the things I'm doing for New Zealand. People don't call me Angry John, but they certainly call him Angry Andrew.
Drawing this reply from Mr Little.
Yeah, well, we have a Prime Minister who cannot help but make a pig's ear of his job at the moment. Everything he touches just turns to dust. Let's start with the flag referendum.
The Leader of the Opposition also raised the other big question on Tuesday, Mr Key's support for bringing pandas to Wellington Zoo.
How many of the 50,000 extra unemployed people under his watch will be employed at the $10 million panda palace that will be required to house the pandas?
The Right Honourable Speaker, Prime Minister.
We now have more people employment in New Zealand than ever before, so I don't know how many people would be employed, but I do remember the Labor Party scoffing about the cycleways, which was actually another initiative of relatively modest proportions that have done extremely well. And what I can see from yesterday's question time is it isn't just a panda that got black.
Order. Now the Prime Minister is no longer addressing the question.
And there was also this question from Mr Key from the ACT Party's member for Epsom, David Seymour.
Will the pandas have Chinese-sounding names?
In as far as there may be some Prime Ministerial responsibility.
Yes, Mr Speaker, they'll be called Bing Bing and Zing Zing and Jing Jing, and under a Labor government they'll never be allowed to buy a panda enclosure in Auckland.
Prime Minister John Key was responding there to questions from opposition leader Andrew Little.
When the Prime Minister has finished making fun of Chinese surnames and he's built... And he has built his $10 million panda palace, will State House children get free entry so they finally get to see what a warm, safe, dry home looks like?
Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr Speaker, I don't know what Wellington Zoo will do in terms of charging, but what I do know is I think it would be a great initiative actually for youngsters to be able to come to Wellington, to come to Te Papa, to come to Parliament, to go to the National War Memorial, to go to Peter Jackson and Richard Taylor's design, and actually to go to the zoo and see pandas. They're very popular around the world. As Minister of Tourism, that's the reason they're hard to get, because so many countries want them.
Supplementary question, Andrew Little.
Is spending $250,000 a year on bamboo for pandas, while schools dig deep into their operational grants to feed kids, in keeping with his commitment to, quote, focus on what matters?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Well, Mr Speaker, from what I can see, spending $250,000 on bamboo is a hell of a lot better value for money from the taxpayer than paying $250,000 for him to be Leader of the Opposition.
Supplementary.
Supplementary question, Andrew Little.
Don't get too angry.
Does he know that when Adelaide Zoo got pandas, the increase in visitor numbers was temporary and costs were so high the zoo had to be bailed out by the government? You could say that the pandas turned out to be white elephants.
You're right, Honourable Prime Minister.
We want to mix the elephant, mix the animals. But Mr Speaker, I'll just go back to the point. It's not our initiative. It's the Wellington Council's initiative. If they want to do it, we talk to them about a range of initiatives, including a whole bunch of things they come and see me about every week. As Prime Minister, I'm not going to not talk to them about the issues they care about.
Supplementary.
Andrew Little, supplementary question.
Is he as excited about getting pandas now as he was in 2010 when, according to then Wellington Mayor Kerry Prendergast, she met with the Prime Minister and she said, quotes, or he said, how are we going with getting those cute little pandas? And he wiggled his hands in glee.
Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr Speaker, I was pretty excited, and if Wellington bring them in, I would be.
Andrew Little.
Thank you, Mr Speaker. Is he aware that pandas often attack their handlers, and is he worried that making a priority of pandas while the economy stalls will come back to bite him?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr Speaker, I make the point that this is a government that's got the books back in order. This is a government that's seen... We'll see who's laughing in a week or so, but anyway, Mr Speaker, this is a government that's seen leadership. It's seen quarterly growth going for 18 quarters in a row. But Mr Speaker, the truth of today's question is angry Andrew is angry because the Greens have outmanoeuvred him when it comes to Red Peak.
That caused pandemonium.
Order.
Mr Key also faced questions about the flag change referendums from Labor's Jacinda Ardern.
My question is to the Prime Minister and asks, does he stand by all his statements after almost 7 years as Prime Minister?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr Speaker, yes, especially the statement I made that when Jacinda Ardern becomes the leader, the cool thing is that we'll have faced more Labor leaders than Australian Prime Ministers.
Supplementary
question, Jacinda Ardern.
Supplementary to the Prime Minister. Does he stand by his statement that, quote, a small majority of New Zealanders will say that they will change the flag, end quote, when the latest poll shows that after seeing his options, almost 70% have rejected change?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr Speaker, yes. And what's rapidly emerging after 7 years of being Prime Minister is not only do I have to run the policies that the government has, I now have to try and implement the policies that the opposition have as well.
Supplementary.
Order. Order.
Supplementary.
Order. Order. Supplementary question, Jacinda Ardern.
Supplementary, is his claim that the polls aren't granular enough the reason he has started his own poll by asking every audience at every speech he gives if they want the flag to change, including at a cancer fundraiser? If so, is this granular, scientific, or most importantly, is it appropriate?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister. Order, the answer wasn't heard because the Prime...
Mr Speaker, all of the above.
Supplementary question, Jacinda Ardern.
Supplementary, are the rumours true that his chief of staff is trying to get him to stop doing straw polls on the flag in every single speech because his audiences are angry at having to waste their time on his pet project?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr Speaker, far from that being correct, I think record numbers of people are turning up.
Supplementary.
Order. Both front benches again are interjecting and carrying on a conversation. If they wish to do so, invite them to go out to the lobbies. Jacinda Ardern.
Supplementary.
Supplementary question, Jacinda Ardern.
When he claimed on Radio New Zealand that, quote, I haven't had an audience yet where more than 50% wanted to keep the flag, end quote, was that a reference to a straw poll of his national caucus?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister and his ministerial responsibility.
Mr Speaker, no, but I tell you what I haven't done, Mr Speaker, and that is come to Parliament and claim I'm opposed to changing the flag, but go down onto the forecourt waving red peak. Mr Speaker, this is an opposition that have a policy that they want to change the flag. Now, all of a sudden, they don't want to do it. The only single question is, how long will it be before they change the leader?
Supplementary question, Honourable Gerry Brownlee.
Mr Speaker, to the Prime Minister, has he made any statements about the helpfulness or otherwise of the coordinated approach to question time from the Labor and Green parties today?
Order. No, there is no ministerial response.
Come on.
Question number 12.
That was on Tuesday. Next day, Jacinda Ardern was back with more questions about the flag.
Mr Speaker, my question is to the Prime Minister and asks, does he stand by his response yesterday when asked whether his chief of staff was trying to stop him talking about the flag during speeches that, quote, far from that being correct, I think record numbers of people are turning up, end quote.
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Yes.
Supplementary.
Supplementary question, Jacinda Ardern.
Supplementary to the Prime Minister. How many people who turned up to the gynaecological cancer fundraiser in Auckland last Thursday expected him to give a speech on the flag and then be asked by him to raise their hands if they were against changing it?
Order.
Oh.
Order.
Mr Speaker.
Order. I haven't called the Prime Minister. I'm just waiting for a bit of a silence. Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Well, Mr Speaker, I don't know, but I don't know how many people who went along that evening expected to see a fashion show with people in lingerie and the likes that were there. I don't know how many people went along expecting to pay $10,000 to come and have afternoon tea with me to help raise $20,000 for the charity. I don't know how many people that came along that night expected to stand in a queue wanting to take photos, but all of those things happened that night.
Supplementary
question. Order. Supplementary question, Jacinda Ardern.
Supplementary. When he was trying to conduct a straw poll on the flag in the middle of a cancer fundraiser, can he confirm stated, go on, I won't judge you, but then proceeded to individually berate people who put their hand up?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
No, that's not correct.
We'll see.
Supplementary question.
Supplementary.
Knows it's true.
Order. Supplementary question, Jacinda Ardern.
Supplementary. Can he confirm that he also used his speech at a cancer fundraiser to tell the audience that those who argued against change on the grounds that soldiers died under the old flag were, quote, misguided, and then proceeded to lecture the audience on New Zealand military history?
The Right Honourable Prime
Minister.
Speaker,
I'm not sure I used the word misguided, but what I've always said is that actually people fought, in my opinion,
for the values and principles that underpin New Zealand, including human rights, women's rights and democracy. I also gave a very long speech about biologics, about Herceptin and about why this government was doing something for people with cancer when the Labor Party completely failed to do so.
Supplementary. We funded this supplementary. Order.
Supplementary question, Jacinda Ardern.
Supplementary to the Prime Minister. Will he take his Chief of Staff's advice and stop using events such as cancer fundraisers, business awards and even a student achievement ceremony to lecture people on his pet project of changing the flag?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Firstly, that's not the advice of my Chief of Staff. And secondly, no, I will continue to talk about the fact that as a country, national pride and patriotism is important. And if I was leader of the Labor Party and had a policy changing the flag, I'd be proud to talk
order,
about
it. Order, order.
And there was also a question for the Prime Minister from the New Zealand First Party's Dennis O'Rourke.
Supplementary question, Dennis O'Rourke.
Thank you, Mr Speaker. Can the Prime Minister assure New Zealanders that Gwyn Compton, his social media adviser who is donkey-deep in Change the Flag, is not campaigning at the taxpayers' expense? And if so, how?
Either of those two supplementary questions, the Right Honourable Prime
Speaker,
Minister.
I have no evidence he's doing that.
Later on Wednesday, Dennis O'Rourke's Deputy Leader, Ron Mark, left little room for doubt on the New Zealand First Party's view about the flag change question.
New Zealand First stands firmly, firmly on the side of the nationalism, on the side of this flag, on the connection to the crown, on the monarchy, and we will not deviate from that, not one inch. What we will say to this government is listen up to the people in New Zealand. Listen up to them, because overwhelmingly they don't want this government's referendum. If there should have been any referendum, it should have been, do you want a flag change, yes or no? And the government would have got a resounding no, and we could have moved on and saved millions and millions and millions of dollars.
And as for the Red Peak design,
it is actually last seen World War II by the Nazis on their sentry boxes. Now give me a break. If there is one further insult that Mr Brownlee, the Minister of Defence, can serve up to the veterans of this nation, is to offer them up a Nazi logo, a Nazi sentry box as the national flag. You have got to be kidding me.
Ron Mark's leader, Winston Peters, back in the chamber after acting as PR for the parliamentary rugby team in London, had this question on Thursday for the Defence Minister, Gerry Brownlee.
In this photograph of the minister visiting our troops in Taji, was he wearing a flak jacket off the shelf or custom-made and more expensive than a normal New Zealand serviceman's flak jacket?
Mr Brownlee said he wasn't sure if his flak jacket had been custom-made or not.
But anybody taking a bit of a glance would know that off-the-shelf's not something I regularly purchase. But what I would say is that there are big flak jackets and there are small flak jackets, and then there are flak jackets that aren't required. So a man of the member's stature probably doesn't require one. So small, such a little target. Therefore, between he and I, we balance it out.
Sotomayor Questbigger.
But Mr Peter's next question suggested he'd done some homework on the trip back from the UK.
Minister, is it not true that for this one visit, he had a special jacket custom-made costing four times the price of a normal serviceman's jacket? And why does he not save the taxpayers' money and just visit troops in a suitable flak jacket, namely a tank?
Gerry Brownlee replied by turning the tables on Mr Peters.
But if he'd like to come with me next time and not wear a flak jacket, then I'll be welcome him to stand at the front of the parade every day we're there.
And the New Zealand First Party leader also featured in the third and final reading of the New Zealand Flag Referendums Amendment Bill, as the House sat under urgency in the morning of Thursday, when Mr Peters outlined his party's stance on the flag change process.
Here's the PM. Instead of saying I want to leave the country in greater economic and social wealth and do great things in areas of reform, no, he wants to have, of all things at the end of his time, a flag. And when he's asked, what flag? I don't know. So you want a legacy that you don't know about. How pathetic and shallow and egotistical is that?
New Zealand First Leader Winston Peters. The House is in a fortnight's adjournment back on Tuesday, October the 13th. More details in a podcast of this program on our website, parliamenttoday.co.nz. I'm Tom Frewin, and this program was made with funding from Parliament.